Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here. Joining me today, Dr. John Townsend and Dr. Jill Hubbard, and your phone calls at 1-800-229-3000. Glad you're with us today here on New Life.
I find myself constantly trying to take care of everything for my husband.
I'm in a marriage. I just got married 3 months ago, and it's a complete disaster.
I feel like my life is nothing but a rut.
Well, that's good news, because a rut has two open ends. A grave has the ends already filled in.
Boundaries don't have to have timelines. You just simply say, when this behavior ceases, when you get into therapy, when you do the following things, then we will talk.
God's whole program is, when we've been trying it one way, then we try it His way.
Play therapy or drawing, art therapy, that works really well
Take
with children.
Time.
That's what your 30 days of celibacy has brought to light, is that, okay, you can manage this, but boy, he can't.
Hi, everybody.
Hey,
welcome
Steve.
To New Life Live. Hello, Jill. Hello, John.
Hey, Steve. How are
Is
you doing?
All right? I'm doing great. I was just sitting here thinking about the Sermon on the Mount. And, you know, it's just one of the most incredible pieces of earth, life, universe-changing things that were ever spoken. And I was thinking about the thing that Jesus uttered, blessed are the meek. What good is being meek in a world where you got to go after it? You guys have any comment about meekness?
Doesn't it?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, there's two real advantages of meek. One is that when you're meek, you don't try to control people or things that you would like to control.
Right.
Because the opposite of meek is being controlling, right, and dominant. So you spend a lot of energy trying to change people's minds about you and let them see you in a different way and talk them into changing what they don't want to change. And when you're meek, you go, you know, I got to be sad and let go of that. So that's number one. Then you don't put energy into changing those you have no right to change, and you can move on. Excuse me. But the second thing, excuse me, is that meek people live in reality, because the word in the Greek has to do with seeing yourself as you are. And it means that you don't pretend to be something you're not. And that's a good way to go through life, is living in reality. About.
Right. So meek does not mean weak.
Meek does not mean like being a little worm or anything.
No. Okay.
I don't mean to be judgmental or anything, but you cough in there. Are you taking your vitamins and stuff, John?
You know what it was?
What was it?
I was thinking out loud, as we all do on the show, and sometimes when I kind of get in my head a lot too much, and I lose my body sensation, and I swallowed a little bit of my coffee in my, it went down the wrong pipe, because I just kind of get like that. So I did take my pills today, but
sometimes
I live in the abstract world too much. Something. What?
Maybe that's a little TMI.
Maybe a little TMI.
Yeah, could be TMI, definitely.
Sorry.
Be careful with that coffee. I hope there's a warning label on there. Careful.
So let me just say something about
meek. I'm going to meekly take this,
back to being meek,
this criticism from you two guys, too.
Okay.
It's in love, John. We love you.
Yeah, we do.
So being meek, you know, like a soft answer turns away wrath. I think meek a lot of times has to do, as you were saying, with someone being wise and just not charging through. Because sometimes when people charge through, they really get a lot less done than the person who comes a little, maybe a little softer, a little more quietly, and can move through more easily.
Mm-hmm. Get a job done. I agree.
Steve, I think you're meek.
Do you?
Because
why would you say that?
Well, because I never.
Apparently, you don't think
so. And take your time explaining it.
Yeah, it's a compliment.
I do think you're meek, because I never see you spend time trying to be somebody you're not. You just kind of say, "This is who I am," and that's why people love you on the show. I think that's why people have been so affected by you, because you're
well,
meek.
Well, same with you two guys too. You are who you are, and sometimes it's disgusting to me. But I say you never try to be somebody you're not, and that's a beautiful characteristic that I hope you'll take to your grave sooner than later. So anyway,
time for a group hug.
I'm feeling warm and fuzzy all over.
Yeah. We'll take a break. We'll come back with more of New Life Live right after this. You can join us at 1-800-229-3000 if you need some help. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We'll be back.
You think I'm a great person, full of life and fun to be around. You say you love me, but if you knew what was going on in my head, I don't think you'd love me anymore. I saw my first girly magazine when I was 7, and I was hooked. I look at porn every chance I get. I've tried to stop over and over again. Sometimes it works for a couple days, but then I fall right back into my old ways.
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I want to stop. I need help. I can't do this on my own.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
Hey, we're back. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. John Townsend and Dr. Jill Hubbard, two of my favorite people in the entire world, and I'm going to share them with you right now. Let's talk to Kelly from Boston, Massachusetts, and she listens on WEZE. Hello, Kelly. Welcome.
Hi. Thank you.
Hi, Kelly.
Thank you for calling. How can we help you today?
Well, actually, I was calling. It has to do a lot with what you were just talking about, being meek, but I'm a mother, so I don't always feel like I can be meek and patient and ease my way in there. And so my question is about my 14-year-old has a girlfriend, and my opinion is that it's too young. I don't like the girl. She's very rude to her mother, and I need some advice on how to break this off, maybe. But at the same time, I realize that boys and girls are attracted to each other, and I feel if I forbid it, that they will find a way to see each other anyways.
Well, let me ask you this. What do you find intrinsically wrong with a 14-year-old boy having a girlfriend? Let's start there first, and then we'll deal with this horrible creature he's attracted to.
Is he 8th grade, freshman in high school?
8th grade.
Okay.
So what is it with you? You just you think 14-year-olds, that shouldn't happen?
Well, I feel somewhat that they may be too immature. I would say that depending on the person, some might be more mature or immature than another. And I think him lying to me about it, and to begin with, contributes to the fact, and the fact that he lied to me tells me that he may be too immature. And it also
Why do you think he lied? Yeah. Why do you think that he went to that extreme
place?
Like,
is he a kid that lies a lot?
Not typically, no. And I think that he lied because he feels like if I knew that the girl lives right next door to us and they spend a lot of time in the park. And
the girl next door. There it is.
Yeah.
There's a lot of songs written about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well.
So he, I think that he feels like if I knew that I wouldn't let him outside because we've had discussions about sex and what girlfriends are for and what's expected and what's not expected. And so I don't know if that implies that he's doing something that I expect that he shouldn't.
Mm-hmm. Well, what do you guys think?
Kelly, he's in the middle at 14 of doing a lot of stuff. He's leaving you. He's attaching to the outside world, and God made him that way. So, you know, part of this is you got a teenager, right? And that's when we learn to let go, but in ways that won't hurt them or set them back. So part of this is he's pushing against you, and that's a good thing. But I think that 14 is too young to date, and I think it's a minimum of 16 because of the neurological, developmental, spiritual, emotional kind of immaturities that you don't have. He still should be doing the group stuff and in the litter pack with all the other kids going to movies together. He shouldn't be pairing off.
Let's identify, what does it mean to have a girlfriend at 14?
Yeah.
Because I think it means something different at 16 than it does at 14 when you're in the 8th grade.
Yeah. And separate dating from girlfriend, maybe.
Would that be fair to say?
That worries me because he tells me about some of the things that his friends say about girls in school, and I volunteer at the school, and I hear some of the things that the boys say, and I see how the girls act, and they act sexual. And
sure.
They say sexual things. And
He's telling you about it, so you guys have a relationship.
You've got a conduit there.
Yeah. But I tell you, a lot of people would disagree with me on this, but you know what they call it when a chihuahua attacks a pit bull? Do you know what they call that?
No.
Sad, and it's a losing battle. And I think that you're
you can take that one to the bank.
Yeah. I think you're in a losing battle here, but you're going to win. I think you need to allow him to have feelings for a girl. Mm-hmm. I think you need to allow him to have a friendship with her. And I think you need to monitor any of the kind of alone time that they would have. I don't think there should ever be an opportunity for a 14-year-old boy to be alone with another girl. That, to me, is dating, and that is inappropriate. But for him to have his first crush and a girlfriend, it's a wise mom, I think, that tries to get in touch with those feelings rather than cut them off.
So, Kelly, I think you need to look at this as an opportunity for you to help him develop some skills and to take graduated steps towards, you know, the future of dating and relationships and eventually marriage. So it does start with these friendships, and you still have some control. So instead of making it an all or nothing thing, okay, let's talk. What does dating mean to you? What do you like about her? What kinds of things do you guys talk about? Okay, you know, in the eighth grade, you know, I know in my house there's no privacy when it comes to the phone and their texting and
right.
things like that, you know?
So sometimes for you.
Yeah, that's right.
You need more privacy too. Yeah.
So, you know, what kinds of things are they saying to each other? The fact that she lives next door, you actually have more data. And I don't know if you have a relationship with those parents.
Yes, we've started one.
Okay, so to be able to talk and say, okay, it's obvious our kids like each other, you know, what parameters are you comfortable with? Here's what I'm comfortable with and not comfortable
with. Yeah, that's really good advice. And Kelly, the thing that I would add to kind of finish this off is that, you know, Jesus said if you cast a demon out of a house and you don't really put anything good in there, seven more are going to come back in. And he's putting a lot of energy. 14's got so much romantic and sexual and excited energy. You need to make sure your son has a full life that has nothing to do with the girl. Sports, church, activities, leadership, community service.
Right, diversion.
More than diversion, filling up his tank so that his energy is going places that are healthy and good. So, because what happens is the kid gets enamored at 14, and then she becomes everything, mm-hmm. and then he gives up his friends and all this. Then you got a big problem. But she's part of his life, and I love what Jill said about staying in touch with the mom. And so but if he's part of her life and she's part of his life and she's not all of his life, he's going to get through this developmental phase fine.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I'm glad you called.
We'll send you Boundaries with Teenagers. We got a Boundaries with Teens book we'll get to you.
Kelly, do you have another comment you wanted to make?
Huh?
What's that?
Are you there?
Kelly?
Kelly, yes.
Yes.
Can you hear us?
Did you have a comment you wanted to make?
The girl and her mother, the way that the girl speaks to her mother, I think is also part of the problem. I don't think her mother has any control.
Well, maybe you can become friends with her mother and have some kind of influence on her and help her see that if we don't control the way our kids talk to us, the kids start to control us.
Or you can empathize. You know,
yeah.
I've seen a lot of moms who right. sort of like don't know how bad it is, the contempt their child has. You get coffee with them at Starbucks and say, God, I heard what Sally said to you about how stupid or fat you are, and it hurt me for you. And they'll just open up and say, I don't know what to do about it. I feel helpless. So go for the hurt that she feels, and you can help her set some limits.
Okay. Glad you called. And you wanted to send, what did you want to send?
Boundaries with Teens.
Boundaries with Teens. There's a whole chapter on sex.
Yeah. Do you agree, though, John, that there can be a difference between having a girlfriend and dating? Or
no, that was a really good clarification, Steve. I mean, you can have somebody that you got this crush on, and you see them in the locker room, and you see them whatever. But the parent's job is to say that the behaviors, you know, the being alone stuff is not okay. You can certainly have a...
Right, you hang out at the lunch tables at school, and everybody knows you like each other.
Right, but you don't go to the movie by yourself, and you don't go to a party by yourself. And all that.
Yeah. But we all agree what you call it when you allow a male and a female teenager alone. We call that stupid.
Oh, I thought you were going to say sad and a losing battle.
well, it's that too. It is that too, because you know, there is no brain matter that operates whatsoever in those moments. It's all pretty much all hormonally driven, and you just got to not set them up for the problem.
Well, plus, you know, the neurological research that's come out says that their frontal lobes are really undeveloped more than we thought. So not only
they cannot make good choices.
Right.
Even when they try.
They cannot. It's like not only are they immature, but their brain doesn't even allow them to think at the levels that we would expect them to.
Well, I tell you, their frontal lobes may not be developed, but there are other areas that certainly are. And that is the problem. Let's talk to Mike.
That's why we have parents.
Yes.
Yeah. Mike from Lexington, Kentucky. WFIA is the station. Hello, Mike.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Doing all right. Good. How about you?
Good. I just want to thank y'all for your show. I listen to it all the time. Appreciate your dedication.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. How could we help you today?
Well, I've been divorced for about 9 months. I was married for 7.5 years, and my wife and I fought for about 6 years out of that, lots of different reasons. But I was trying to reconcile the marriage up until just a couple of weeks ago. And I guess one of the things I'm struggling with, my question is all of the advice that I got through church, which, you know, I kind of changed my ways around, started going to church about 4 years ago, and I got baptized about a year ago.
Well, way to go, buddy.
Yeah.
That's a great thing for me.
Well, what happened a couple of weeks ago that caused you to change your desire for working toward reconciliation?
Well, she said that she just basically wanted to start dating. And,
ouch, that hurts.
Yeah, that's a pretty tough thing there.
Why did you guys divorce? What happened?
Well, specifically, she just said she was just kind of tired of it.
What's the it that she was tired of, Mike?
Well, you know, she had always kind of, every time we would get into a fight, she would kind of lead to a divorce and say, well, we just need to get divorced. And probably about a year ago or a little more than that, she had filed the papers and we had reconciled. And this last time she had gone on vacation and I was kind of working on an old car late at night, and I stopped by my parents' house and spent the night there, you know, a couple of nights, and she felt like that. I guess she felt that I was cheating on her. She felt like that I had abandoned her, and she basically, that was kind of the straw that broke the camel's back. And
Does she still believe that?
Yeah, she pretty much believes that. Yeah.
Is there any reality to the unfaithful charges?
No, I never did. I never did cheat on her. You know, now, you know, we, during our fights over the years, I would get mad. I would leave. You know, sometimes take a drive. A couple of times I stopped at, you know, a little neighborhood bar, had a beer, and, you know, some of her friends had seen that, and she felt as though that was being unfaithful and cheating on her.
Okay, well, what's the question for us then?
Well, my question is, you know, during this whole time, you know, I've kind of, you know, been working on myself, you know, the past 4 years or so, and I quit drinking, you know, started going to different classes at my church, and you know, a lot of the guys in my church, you know, they would they tell me, you know, you got to change yourself. Stop, you know, don't focus on her. Once you change, she'll change. And you know, and it puts a real struggle and burden on me, because you know, it's like everything hinged on me. And as hard as I tried to do that, you know, I would give and get vulnerable, and then, you know, of course, didn't see anything.
Yeah, you worked really hard, and she pushed away. Now, before we go to break, ask us a question, and we can be thinking about it, Mike. What's the question?
Well, my question is, and I think I already know the answer, but in a marriage, how can it be, you know, just one person, you know, that needs to change? Because, you know, we're both kind of falling.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
My relationships with my husband, with my friends, with my family are much richer and deeper and honest. Particularly my relationship with God, I see Him in a more accurate form and begin to trust Him more. There's joy and there's peace because I have the internal tools that I can trust. So it's radically changed my life. I'm just not even the same person.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
Take the leap, jump in, and go for it. It's changed my life completely.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you if you have a question or comment. Call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here, and we are talking with Mike. And, Mike, you were going to ask us a question here, buddy. What is it that we could help you with?
Well, my question is it biblical for everything to be, you know, the reconciliation in a marriage to be just on the man? You know, I know the Bible says that the man is the leader of the home and that, but you know, is that biblical? I mean,
well, it doesn't sound like to
me
you have
things.
A choice. It doesn't sound like to me that you have a choice here, do you?
No, because I believe that we're called man, husband and wife to follow.
No, but my point is, she doesn't want to reconcile. She wants to date.
Yeah.
Do you need help with the hurt that you feel about that, or do you need help on some more of a conceptual level about whose responsibility is what? Give us a question we can help you with.
Right, because you said you realize the answer, and of course it's never one person's fault, and all of the responsibility shouldn't be on one person's shoulders, but somebody has to start. And if you're always looking for the other person saying, well, it's not fair, then nobody starts.
Right, and I don't think that I'm looking for that, but you know, when you're trying really hard and you're dealing with with all that hurt and that pain, and you're really trying, and the other person is not acknowledging that, and you know, continues to kind of head in that direction, you know, and your church is telling you, well, it, you know, it's you, and you have to change, and by you changing, you know, she'll come along.
Maybe.
I think they're giving you a false sense of.
Well, Mike, that's, I don't know who's saying that, but that's not what the Bible teaches.
Right, and that's my question. You
yeah,
know,
it's not a guarantee.
What does the Bible teach on that?
The Bible teaches that in Romans it says, as much as it lies with you, be at peace with all. What that means is I go out of my way, I change my mind, I apologize, I make restitution, I confess, I ask forgiveness, I clean out the cup, I stop being a control freak, I stop drinking, I start being a loving, active person, I become the healthiest person in the world. That's the as much as it depends on you. I go way out of my comfort zone to be healthy and loving. But the point is, when that passage says that, it means there are some people that will say, I don't care how healthy and loving you are, I'm out of here.
Mm-hmm.
Because that is what happens with God. You know, you go to. I mentioned this in the earlier show. Remember when Jesus said, Jerusalem, I wish I could have put you under my wings like a hen does her chicks, but you would not? So you go to your church friends and say, what about God here? Well, he does everything and people still reject him. Are you saying it's all on him? It's not all on him. You do everything you can to redeem and reconcile and reach out. And some people say, okay, I want that. And some people say, I don't. So I think your time would be really well spent, not only getting really healthy, but going to her and saying, is there anything I need to change, or is there anything I need to say or hear from you about how I've treated you that would be a bridge back? And kind of put it in her court. I think that would be the most value for your time.
Well, you know, I've put it in her court a lot of times, a lot of times. And, you know, and as hard as I would try, you know, it was kind of like she always was sitting there waiting for me to make a mistake. And when I would, then... You know, she would take the stance of, well, see,
you haven't really changed. Yeah, she'd say you haven't.
So she'd knock down all the good that you felt like you had done.
Right, yeah. Yeah, mm-hmm. There would be no good. She, you know, it's like she told me, she said, I can't remember one good thing that's happened.
Yeah, Mike, you're at the level that if you can, your only hope really is you got to get into a counselor's office and say, and this often works. I've seen some Hail Mary passes in marriage on this one. Like, I know you're leaving me. I know you're out. I know you want to date other people. But I would like for us to see a counselor at least to get some sense of resolution on where we are and clarity for my growth's sake. And I've seen it happen where the person says, okay, I want to let you know. I'm out. I'm not interested in you, but I'll go to see the shrink. And if the counselor's good, they reach that person's heart and they start talking about what's going on inside and the relationship and family of origin issues, and they get hooked.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not being deceptive. It's just saying, even if you're leaving me, I need to grow from this. Will you go? I would push really hard for that.
Right, so that we don't repeat this in our next relationships.
And you can't do it with her. What I'm hearing is I would just say, stop trying to do it by yourself. Get a third party in the room. Stop trying to argue with her. Stop trying to convince her you're right. Stop trying to listen. You need a specialist now. It's time to go to do everything you can to say, I just need somebody who understands marriage in the room with you.
Right.
Yeah.
She still may not be willing, because some of this, you know, you have a greater chance while you're still married.
Mm-hmm.
And then once you're divorced, you know, it can still turn around, but again, no guarantee.
Well, the irrefutable correct advice for Mike is change. Go through the process. It doesn't mean you were all bad or anything, but all of us need to continue that change.
I love that. Whether or not they come back, I want to have the beam out of my eye over and over again. You can't lose that way. You cannot lose.
No, and then when somebody, you know, comes along, if that were part of God's plan for you, you've changed. You're a better person.
Yep.
You know yourself better. You know where to your strengths lie and weaknesses. I tell you, you know, people will take a car in for a checkup, but will they ever, ever take themselves in? That's sometimes really the big value of counseling.
They ought to have at the auto dealers, they ought to have a counselor at the auto dealer, so you can do both.
Yeah.
While you're waiting on your car.
While you're waiting on your oil change.
Yeah.
Do a checkup from the neck up.
Exactly. And then you could be able to grapple above the Adam's apple, like, is another way to look at it, kind of. You get what I'm saying.
I just absolutely believe in the mission of New Life, and I feel that the materials provided and the biblical counseling perspective is so valuable and not available in so many places. And New Life and membership in Club New Life provides access to the live program and also CDs available to listen to. So I know it's easy to turn on the radio and receive the benefit, but those services don't come without expense. And I would sure like to see the program remain on. So I would like to challenge listeners who listen and receive benefit but haven't yet given to actually give this year and continue the giving, of course, because more people need to hear.
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask how you can start your Club New Life membership today. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
My clothes are falling off of me. People are making comments. I would pick up my food, and I was running every day, 6 miles a day. And I got to the point where I was afraid to drink water because I didn't want to gain water weight.
10 million women and girls have eating disorders. Anorexia or bulimia isn't a diet, it's a disease.
My parents knew then that something had to be done immediately.
New Life's Eating Disorders Treatment Clinic can help.
You see that everybody that works there loves God and is wanting to help you.
For more information about our eating disorder treatment clinic, call New Life today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Find hope for your child to begin healing and embrace life. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I decided that I wanted to work with eating disorders and help save people's lives on a daily basis.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
I know that with God and Renuda that my life was spared.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to the program.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here.
Steve.
And, yes.
I just wanted to add one more comment for Mike that we were talking about
okay. The
break. You know, I think any hope for Mike would be to do what John said, and if she would come and just kind of debrief with him after the marriage in counseling, but to let her know that he is aware of being emotionally abandoning of her and that he really wants to understand that and explore that so that he doesn't do that to others. And I think some validation would be a good way of drawing her in.
Mm, very good. All right, 1-800-229-3000 to join us. 1-800-NEW-LIFE or newlife.com. Those are the numbers that are the places that you can go to find out about all the things that we do, including our drug and alcohol program there in Florida, Christ-centered. I think, well, I've had two people tell me it was the most amazing place that they could have gone, and I really do believe in that place. So call us if somebody in your family is struggling with alcohol or drug addiction. Let's talk to Jay from Fort Washington, Maryland. WAVA is the station. Hello, Jay.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm fine.
Can you speak right up?
Can you hear
me? You love us? Yes, we want you to say you love us loudly. So.
Oh, I love you.
Oh, thank you.
I love you guys. Yeah. I listen to
thank
you guys every day.
Thanks.
I'm calling because more so for me. It might affect my family and my marriage, but it's more so just for me.
Okay.
I have a problem where, I guess you could say I'm kind of a self-destructive type person. It's not intentionally. I don't intentionally mean to hurt anyone. I don't intentionally mean to do bad things. It's just that I seem to always do them. No matter how hard I try, it's like the harder I try not to do, it turns into a chaotic situation.
Jay, give us an example.
Tell us something really bad you've done.
Well, within my marriage, my husband is on the verge of leaving. I guess he's basically already gone. We just still live together. I've done little things behind his back and then lie and say I haven't done it. And it's just little things to me. And I
Jay, make it a specific example. Like, did you take money or did you drive somewhere you shouldn't have? Give us a specific so we get a picture.
Okay, I would go to work. I work nights. Hmm. And after I leave work, me and a couple of girlfriends, we might go to a bar, have a couple of drinks, and then I'll come home and say I didn't go.
Hmm.
And eventually he'll find out, and he says, you know, you're disrespecting me, you're lying, you're out doing this, that, and that. And
Did you lie because you were afraid he'd be mad if he knew you went to the bar?
If I told him the truth, exactly.
Okay.
And it's like one lie has now consistently turned into a lot of little lies, and you're absolutely right. It's like I lie because if I tell you the truth, you're going to be even madder than, in my eyes, you're going to be mad.
Well, did you see something wrong with going with your friends to the bar? Is that a bad thing for you, or is that an okay thing? Like, if he liked it, would it be okay with you?
It's an okay thing with me. I mean, I don't know. I didn't see any harm in it when I did it. I didn't.
Okay, so this is not about you doing destructive things that he's catching. You're doing things, it sounds like, that for your value system are okay, but you're really afraid of his disapproval. And you lie to avoid his disapproval. Would that be fair?
Yeah, that's fair to say.
Okay.
Well, I tell you, when I talk to somebody that is really caught up in lying, the only advice that I think is good advice is don't. You got to stop the lying. And a lot of times we lie because we want to control that outcome. You know, we want to... Mm-hmm. Rather than trust God or alter our behavior, we just want to control the outcome. Now, what is it in you? Is it a lack of trust from God? Is it have you always felt the need to be in control? What's inside of you that's leading you to do stuff that he doesn't like and you're willing to lie about it?
I would say, I hate to say this, but yes, my faith and my trust in God has kind of dwindled over the years.
Hmm.
It was okay. Like at one time you couldn't not get me out the Bible and not get me to pray every day. I would take breaks at work and go in the bathroom and pray. It was just like a routine, consistent thing. And I think that's what it became, so routine that, okay, if I miss a day, okay, cool, I can make it up tomorrow. And it just got to the point that I just stopped.
Jay, did you have parents that punished you for speaking up and telling the truth and being direct?
Actually, no. My parents were not even in my life. Actually, I was raised by my grandmother.
Did you have a grandmother that punished you for being direct and forthright and telling the truth from your heart?
Not so much as punished. I guess you could say she kind of, it was more so ridicule.
Oh.
Hmm. Or you were more so scared to say anything because of the way she would react.
All right, so I think that's what John
was getting at.
That's what we're getting at. Yeah, we're getting there. So you learned how to be an indirect person when you had something you thought people wouldn't like. You learned how to do
tell them what they want to hear.
You know, tell them what they want to hear and sort of be sneaky about the things you needed. Would that be fair to say?
Yeah, that would be very fair to say. And another thing is like I was sort of cover things up because I'm what you call a class clown. So cover up a lot of hurt and a lot of pain with a lot of jokes and laughter. Mm-hmm. And no one ever knew what I was really feeling.
Right, yeah.
Well, then you need to change that.
That's not a problem. I have no problem in changing. Mm-hmm. It's just that my ways and my behavior and things I've done and things I've said has affected, like I said, my marriage.
I don't think you're hearing what I'm saying. Because I want you to change something that's going to be really a lot of hard work for you to change, but you need to do it. Which is to decide, instead of being the class clown, I'm going to be an honest, direct person. When I have a need or when I don't like something or when I have a desire, I'm going to go to people and say, I like this, I don't like this, I want to do this, and I want to talk to you about this, and to be a direct person instead of an indirect person. And I don't think you can tell me that's going to be easy for you.
No, it's not.
That's what's causing the problem in the marriage.
And now what's really causing the problem is like my husband does not want to hear anything I have to say. It's like
he's given up because of the lying. Remember how Jill said earlier? It's like that the people who have this kind of issue, they say what people want them to say, and he's going, "Stop blowing smoke here. I don't trust you." And what you have to do is to go to him and say, "You're absolutely right. I've been lying, and I've been an indirect person because I'm terrified. I never had the skills to learn how to be an honest person, and I want you to stay with me, and I want to work as hard as I can on being direct and honest."
I can do that, but I don't think he's going to.
Well, I think, Jay, at a time when you haven't done something, I think you need to sit down with your husband and say, "I've been thinking about some things. Would you be at least willing to just listen to me talk about this?" And then just share some things. And, yes, I don't expect you to trust me, but I do need help with this, and I would like your help.
I want you to stick with me while I work on this. This is my problem.
Right.
And I'm going to give you a progress
report.
You're
going to take responsibility for it.
And we're going to send you a copy of Boundaries, because Boundaries is about having the courage to tell the truth. And I want, husband, I love you and I need you, and you're right for not trusting me. So you help me when I go get work on these things and the task, and you help me, and you tell me when I'm lying, and I get so scared, and I'm going to be in a support group. And if he's a guy that feels like he's got a wife that he loves in some core part, he'll probably go, "You know what? You're really going to what hurts me too. I will help you."
Right, and that might not come for a while.
Right.
He's going to have to see you really working at it and really trying. But, Jay, the lying thing is only going to lead you down a path where you don't want to go, and you're already saying that. And I think you do have a lot of ambivalence in your life. And, you know, back to the faith issue, I think there is a part of you that, you know, is looking for something. Is looking for some excitement or whatever it is, and feels guilty about that you've kind of been running from God a bit too. And so you try to lessen that with your dishonesty and kind of keep that part hidden.
I really think the advice here could change your whole life. It not just change this relationship, but it's not going to do it unless you give it a try, unless you're willing to say, "Okay, well, maybe this is really what God has been wanting me to hear." I'm glad you called us. What was the book you wanted her to have?
Boundaries.
Boundaries, yeah.
All right, we'll send Boundaries to you. Hope that'll be a blessing to you. We'll take a break. We'll come back for our final segment here on New Life Live. If you can help us, we sure would appreciate it, especially if you've never given before, if you always thought, "Oh, I really want to give to them." Just pick up the phone right now, 1-800-NEW-LIFE, and say, "I want to be part of the giving family." I think you'll like being part of that family.
I counsel people every single day. I help marriages. I help broken people find healing. I teach the good news of a Savior that loves us. But why can't I accept it myself and break free from this bondage? I can't stop looking at pictures that I shouldn't be looking at, and fantasizing and lusting, and now I've taken it a step further and gone to a strip club. I have to stop. I want to stop.
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I need help, and I can't do this on my own. I want to be the pastor that God wants me to be.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, everybody. Max Locato here. You know, I've been a pastor for over 25 years, and in the process, I've been fortunate to cross paths a few times with Steve Arterburn and his team at New Life. And I can tell you for a fact that these are good people doing real ministry work where the rubber meets the road. One of the ways they help people is through their New Life Weekend. The Apostle Paul writes about finding the transformation that comes from the renewing of your mind. That's what these folks at New Life specialize in. Whether you struggle with anger, unforgiveness, depression, grief, boundaries issues, maybe you've never worked through the pain of a past abortion. Maybe you need a marriage tune-up. Maybe your marriage is in crisis. Listen, these good people can help you. Call them today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 and ask about the New Life Weekend.
Find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. John Townsend and Dr. Jill Hubbard. And let's see where we can go now. Let's talk over here to JJ from Voorhees, New Jersey. Hello, JJ. Welcome to New Life Live. How you doing?
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
How could we help you?
I'm a single mom. I'm just renewing my life in Christ, and I want to know, how can I raise my son according to God's will, and how can I show my son fatherhood, considering that I'm a woman? And
okay,
I don't want him
great
showing
question.
Him fatherhood like what the world says, but what Christ says.
Great question, and what does your support system look like?
Oh, my church, big time support system. When I was serving in my church and found somebody, fell in love, and that person actually wasn't who he says he was. I had to step down, and I got counseling at my church.
They're behind you. They love you. They want to walk you through this. Okay, find some people in the male persuasion who are good dads or good cousins or good big brothers or whatever, and don't date them. And they can be married or single as long as you're not dating them. And say, mm-hmm. Can you play a part in me raising a godly, healthy boy?
Okay. And you might be able to see, you know, as you, I mean, it sounds like you're already involved in your church, but as you get involved in different things, see the men that kind of come to the forefront that are naturally there in your world,
yeah, they
and
want to
in
show
your
up.
Circles
right.
of influence. Right. And the ones that maybe even show interest in your son. It's amazing how when, you know, you ask God and when you are available and open to that, that people show up to help meet those needs. But you,
that's
probably
what I'm afraid of. I don't want guys to think they can come to my son to come to me. I don't want that.
Right.
Yeah.
No, you got to make that clear. This
yeah.
Sam, I got to, you know, I've been going through this nightmare, and it's okay now, and I'm going to raise a really good kid. And so we're friends, right, because there's not a dating thing, because I can't do that with somebody that's going to be a friend of my boy. And here's why you have to explain it. Dates come and go. Dating's a great thing. I write books on dating. But in the heart of a child, a date doesn't come and go. Mm-hmm. A child gets attached. A child wants to see you. A child wants to see that person. And then all of a sudden, oh, well, we're not seeing each other anymore. That kid now has a second loss. Not only have mm-hmm. a mom and dad have broken up, but the second guy that I had these hopes and wishes for, it is devastating to a child. You really need to keep your child away from the dating world. So you just make sure the guy knows, hey, I just don't do this, and are you okay with just playing ball and wrestling and taking him to the zoo and all that? And is that, and that's going to end there? And we're friends, and if a guy says, well, no, they want something else, then you say, I'm not in that place right now.
Well, and
a date
also
to a little boy.
Oh, go ahead, Steve.
I was just going to say, a date to a little boy isn't a date. It's a hope and it's a dream.
There you go.
Yeah. Okay, go
but
ahead,
But I was
Jill.
Also going to say, don't rule out married friends, because there's a lot of really
yes.
great dads that maybe have a son,
and
your son's
age.
And they've
got some energy left over.
And they're willing to take them along
yes.
and do things. That's a great thing. And for a kid to kind of be a part of a dad who's already dialed in.
But be real careful. With, you know, don't have the dad come pick him up at your house and you're there alone. You take to the house the married couple.
Oh, no,
that
it's more
you're
friends with
yeah.
the couple.
Yeah, yeah, it's a couple
it's
thing.
It's the couple thing.
Right.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah. It's not about getting taken care of by a married guy.
There's a great passage in Psalm 68, and it says that God is a father to the fatherless, and he provides home for the lonely, mm-hmm. verse 11. And so you're doing a great thing at an early age in your son, saying, I want to get him some fathering. And God, I want you to bring some people to bring some homes for him. And that's what good men, married or single, will do.
And there are a lot of guys that have retired, and they need to retire their retirement. And put their, you know, they need to retire from it and put their energy and their wisdom into a young person like this. I mean, I really believe We've got all this resource out there that's just sitting in front of a television on a Barca lounger, and it doesn't have to be that way.
Well, Senior, Raising Great Kids, it's a curriculum for the six character needs that every little boy needs.
Yeah, that's coming your way, so hold on. We'll get that to you. You know, I'm not just pandering. I think that's the word. A lot of people say this, but it's really true. The single mom is one of the worst, most difficult situations to be in this day and age.
Mm-hmm. Safe to say it's the hardest job in the world, bar none.
No kidding.
I
would definitely echo that.
You've got to be a mom and a dad.
I have a little experience
and you're,
in that department.
Yeah, it is. There's no question about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and
but it's okay to admit where you can't do it. You know, I'm a great mom. I'm not a good dad.
Yeah,
no matter how hard I try.
Hey, I do know that you're not a bad dad because you let Mac tackle you.
I know. I try to play football. I try to give him practice.
And
I want to see.
I'm really lame. And I'm like, please don't hurt me.
I want to see it. Well, you've got great kids, and it's because you. That's where you put your
great
time,
mom.
Your effort, and anyway, all right. Well, we're almost out of time. I want to thank you for joining us. We really love it that you tune us in here, and once again, we need your help financially. All of us here have supported this ministry over time, and what we're looking for are people who never have. We're trying to talk people who never have who wanted to. I'm not talking to people who've listened and didn't want to. But I don't know if you know this, but we have atheists that support our ministry.
Yeah, it's so cool.
Because they like the advice. They're not into the Christ part yet or the God part, but they think we're helpful. Well, we love that. So if an atheist is going to support this program, couldn't you? I don't know if that shamed you enough or not, but I'm trying here. I'm going anywhere I can go. But really, if you have thought about it or you know, just thought, I really ought to support them, or, you know, I've always been meaning to support them. This is the time to do it. You just pick up the phone, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's as simple as it is. And before John closes us out with some scripture, if you need help, it's the same number, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We've got these wonderful weekends, Wives in the Battle, our weight loss weekend, so many things that we have. We want you to be a part of it. Just call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. A counselor in your area you can get through 1-800-NEW-LIFE. John, some scripture for us, please.
Steve, all day, you and me and Jill have been talking to a bunch of people who have a problem bigger than they are, but they have work to do. And I thought about Philippians 2:11-12, where Paul says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. So we've got a job to do. We've got to confront something or get healthy or go read a book or get a support group. We've got to own something. But then the verse after that says, it's God who is at work in you to will and work for his good pleasure. So we do really hard work, and we're not passive. We do it. But we also know that God's doing all the things we can't do. He's bringing people in. He's making the phone ring. He's changing somebody's heart. He's reminding somebody of you so they'll call you. He's doing that cosmic chess master, put the chess pieces out.
He works on the outcome.
He works on the outcome.
We just do our part.
And that is it's what we call co-laborship. You do your job. God does his job, and then the miracles happen.
I don't think you can interpret the Greek on that passage to be working out your salvation. What it really means is pray real hard by yourself at your home and don't ever interact with anybody or go to church. I just don't think it's that.
What they call an exegetical stretch.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what God is saying here through his word is you need to get to work. You need to do some stuff here. And we want to help you do that. And if we can, you just call us, 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Get off the Barca lounger and start barking.
Exactly. That's right. All right. We love you. We care about you. I love you, John and Jill, and appreciate you guys being here. We'll see everybody next time here on New Life Live. Take care and have a great, great day.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by getting you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program,
call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live.